You're seated. Thank you. Have your bulletin with you and looking at the prayer list before we begin. Coming up on the Independence Weekend. We'll talk about that next week. But a subject that's kind of the flip of the coin of independence is that which is in the news recently, if you've been watching, of slavery. And it just so happens that the New Testament reading for this weekend happened to fall into Romans 6 about slavery. And in this instance, the right kind of slavery is a good thing. And we'll talk about that today. But let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you for a time to work together, come together, fellowship and worship and praise you. We adore you. We love you. It gives our soul joy to sing praises and to hear the words of Alleluia and Hallelujah. And worthy are you for such praise. We thank you this day, Father, that we have the ability to come and to intercede on behalf of others. There are many out there that do not know you. A heart unbridled without Jesus Christ, your Son, is, as your word says, can be desperately wicked, self-seeking, and vengeful. So we pray for those misguided souls today that are so wound up and full of hate. Hate that they think is actually justice. So, Father, we pray for an awakening of spiritual proportions in their life. Father, you use all means to reach people. The bright light which awakened Saul to become Paul. The many stories of the Bible that you have awakened people from their slumber, we ask for a great spiritual awakening across our country. So, Father, and across the world, as our brothers and sisters in peril, the persecuted church, those who are in hiding, for the missionaries so desperately trying to get copies of the Bible to these underground churches, Father, blind the eyes of the enemy and love those missionaries in, and let your word be spread throughout the world. For those on our prayer focus, Father, for those still dealing with cancer and arduous weekly appointments and procedures, for those in chemo, those dealing with cancer, dealing with just health issues in general, for our care center members and those widows and those who live alone, fill their rooms, their homes with your loving presence, that where they live doesn't feel so lonely anymore, but the warmth of your presence gives them encouragement and hope. For our word today, we ask that you would open our eyes and our hearts to this meaning that is somewhat complicated. Paul writes very deeply. And we ask, Father, for discernment. Speak to our hearts and where it applies to us. Guide us and direct us this hour, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. I like the New Living Translation. It's a lot more direct to the translation of the Greek. It's a little more conversational. It's a little more on my terms of understanding too. So Romans chapter 6, we're talking about being slaves to righteousness. Romans 6, 12 to 23. Pretty much chapter 12, verse 12 through the end of the chapter. It says, "Do not let sin control the way you live. Do not give in to its lustful desires. Do not let any part of your body become a tool of wickedness to be used for sinning. Instead, give yourselves completely to God, since you have been given new life, and use your whole body as a tool to do what is right for the glory of God. Sin is no longer your master, for you are no longer subject to the law, which enslaves you to sin. Instead, you are free by God's grace. So since God's grace has set us free from the law, does that mean we can go on sinning? Of course not. Don't you realize that whatever you choose to obey becomes your master? You can choose sin, which leads to death, or you can choose to obey God and receive His approval. Thank God. Once you were slaves of sin, but now you have obeyed with all your heart the new teaching God has given to you. Now you are free from sin. Your old master and you have become slaves to your new master, righteousness. I speak this way using the illustration of slaves and masters because it's easy to understand. Before, you let yourselves be slaves of impurity and lawlessness. Now you must choose. You must choose to be slaves of righteousness so that you will become holy. In those days when you were slaves of sin, you weren't concerned about doing what was right. And what was the result? It was not good, since now you are ashamed of the things you used to do, things that end in eternal doom. But now you are free from the power of sin and have become slaves of God. Now you do those things that lead to holiness and result in eternal life. For the wages of sin is death, but the free gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ, our Lord. The basic definition of slaves, you can look it up, it pretty much says that it's a person who is the legal property of another and is forced to obey them. The premise of slavery is when a person or a business owns another human being, labels them as nothing more than property, and forces them under the burden of unpaid labor. History records countless stories where generation upon generation dealt with the issues of slavery. In fact, all you need to do is go back to the Bible to find one issue of slavery, one of the earliest accounts, and we're talking close to 4,000 years ago. Genesis 15, verse 13 says, "Then the Lord said to Abram, 'You can be sure that your descendants will be strangers in a foreign land, where they will be oppressed as slaves for 400 years.'" Now, according to the United States State Department, there, believe it or not, are still 167 countries that still openly allow slavery, with a combined total of nearly 50 million people still in bondage around the world. Now today, although we use that word slave, they've kind of relabeled the word. They don't use the word slave as prevalent as they used to. It's now referred to as trafficking in persons or human trafficking. And although the word slave isn't used, they have expanded the definition. It just simply means the act of recruiting, harboring, transporting, providing, or obtaining a person for compelled labor or commercial sex acts through the use of force, fraud, or coercion. According to the U.S. State Department, the top 6 countries that deal with such things are India, China, Pakistan, Bangladesh, Uzbekistan, and North Korea. These 6 countries alone account for 27.7 million people in bondage still to this very day. The human trafficking market, slavery, hasn't gone away, has it? It's been going on for 4,000 years. But there's another type of battle waging in the war of slavery. And this one is the war between sin and righteousness. The thing we need to understand about this particular battle is it's ours. This one is our battle. It is our choice. And the thing about this is that there's only two choices. There's only two to choose from. It's either one or the other. There's never, ever, in God's word, gray area, that spanse of compromise. It's one or the other. It's either slavery to sinfulness or slavery to righteousness. Jesus emphasized that very point when he said in Matthew 6, verse 24, "No one can serve two masters. Either you will hate one and love the other, or you will be devoted to one and despise the other." As hard as human nature may try to argue, no, we cannot have it both ways. We cannot create this new hybrid of both loyalties blended together to suit ourselves. We cannot be sold out to the kingdom of God if our hearts are divided. So may our choice today be God's choice, righteousness. We've been given new life by God. Our bodies are supposed to be given to Him to be used for promoting righteousness. We are to refuse sin and instead be wholly committed to living for God. And these are the choices that we make. It's not a one-time choice that lasts for the rest of your life. No, these are choices that need to be made moment by moment, day by day, event by event, challenge by challenge, every moment of every day, consistently, because this is our new lifestyle when we accepted Jesus Christ. And this is why Paul later wrote, we read from verse 6, move forward later into this letter of Romans in chapter 12, verses 1 to 2. It's a very popular scripture. That's why Paul wrote, "And so, dear brothers and sisters, I plead with you to give your bodies to God because of all that He has done for you. Let them be a living and holy sacrifice, the kind that He will find acceptable. This is truly the way to worship Him. Don't copy the behavior and customs of this world, but let God transform you into a new person by changing the way you think. Then you will learn to know God's will for you, which is good and pleasing and perfect." Our prayer is that we choose the ways of God over the ways of this world, because the last thing we want to be is in slavery to the things of this world. Because we know what it means to be a slave, don't we? I think we've watched enough documentaries and seen enough on the news today to know what it means. To be a slave means you don't have a choice. You don't even get a choice. Slaves do what their master tells them to do. It means no freedom. You're told where to go, how to live, when to get up, when to go to work, when to go to bed. You're told that you are owned, that you are controlled. You're even exploited and stripped of all identity. Slavery does not sound fun in that context. Slavery to sin in that context is very, very costly. Because as you saw in that last verse, the wages of sin is death. The wages that sin pays for your services is deadly. It is death itself. Slavery to sin strips us of our dignity, degrades and humiliates. Sin's death destroys our families. It frustrates our ability to make a living, crushes dreams, and creates dependency and even for some, literally renders them helpless. We need freedom from all of that, because sin is just that deadly. So here is our good news for today. The good news is that the freedom from all of those sins and that destructiveness of that sinfulness that enslaves us, it is possible and it is available to you to break free of all those things. You can be set free. You can be set free because of Jesus. Jesus sets us free. When Jesus died on the cross for our behalf, that power is what made it possible for us to become free from the bondage of all sins. And when Jesus rose from the dead, his resurrection power gave us the freedom to walk away from everything that tries to destroy us, everything that tries to interrupt and destroy the relationship he wants to have with us. He wants us to be set free. Jesus wants us to be forgiven, to be restored, so that we can have a loving and personal, intimate relationship with him, to be able to be empowered to fulfill his will for our life and to do the things he wants us to do. So here is the key. It's not automatic. You have to want this. You have to want this. It's not a pill you take and all of a sudden you're free. You have to strive for this. You have to desire this. You really, truly have to go after it. You must desire to do what it takes for this to be not just a hit and miss and a give it a shot and give it a try. No, this has to be your very being, your whole entire life. Because in this sinful world, even post-salvation and having Jesus in our hearts, we still have to fight the battle against the power of the human flesh and our sinful nature. We still have to fight the battle in the power of the Holy Spirit. But we fight knowing that the power of the enemy is already broken. We already know that the constraints of our sinful bodies have been removed because of Jesus. So the battle is not ours, as the Bible says, but the power of the authorities comes from the Holy Spirit helping us in this fight. Jesus set us free that greatly. Jesus sets us free to follow him. But what we need to understand is that freedom can't be separated from the command to live a holy and righteous life. Allowing God to be our master, choosing and to make the effort to live sold out to him completely, I think if you choose to do that, you will quickly find that you are fully capable of living such a way that God originally intended for you to live in the first place. This is how we discover that this new slavery is in fact not slavery at all. It's actually the freedom we've been looking for all along, because it provides us with a life that fits perfectly into God's will for you. It fits perfectly into what God created you for to begin with. It fulfills his plans for you that he had from the very beginning of time. This new slavery means that we're being made more and more like God each day, being made Christ-like, because we are preparing for eternity on the other side of death. This sort of slavery for us is the most perfect freedom we could ever experience. So the question is, are we prepared and ready to give up some of our so-called earthly freedoms in order to be made fully spiritually free? There has to be somewhere within our hearts and our souls and our mind a true sense of hungering and thirsting for such righteousness. And we should have a passion to always want to do what is right. Our sinful nature may not always lead us to full success at times. Yes, we're in our human sinful nature. We're going to have challenges. We may stumble and fall in our pursuit of holiness. But when we understand that when we hunger and thirst after righteousness and we allow that righteousness to be our master, that when we fall, we realize we now have the power to get back up again, to seek forgiveness, to keep going, to strive to do even better and better than ever before. As slaves to God, we are slaves to righteousness. That means we're under the control, the authority, and the direction of the Holy Spirit, who helps us to live a righteous life that goes on, as John Wesley said, goes on towards perfection. That is sanctification, a sanctified life. Going in that direction is truly possible through the power of the Holy Spirit. This is such a huge blessing. What that means is you have something that the world doesn't have. You have something that other people don't. We have true freedom. We have true power. We have the ability to do good and to be good. We have the ability and the capability of being a holy people. And that's even more good news for us today, I think. Good news, because it means we no longer have to sin. Is that kind of hard to comprehend as a human being? As Christians empowered by the Holy Spirit seeking after righteousness, really, as the Bible says, you're under no obligation. You don't have to sin anymore. Even though we still have a sin nature, we no longer have to give into it. Our freedom from sin means that we have the capability to always choose to do the right thing. 1 Corinthians 10:13 tells us that the temptations in your life, they're no different from what others experience. And God is faithful. He will not allow the temptations to be more than you can stand. And when you are tempted, He will show you a way out so that you can endure. So you see, through the power of the Holy Spirit seeking after righteousness, you're under no obligation. You don't have to do anything the temptation tries to entice you to do. You don't have to sin because you're no longer under sin's control. You've been given the authority and the power to have victory over each and every sin and temptation that tries to defeat you. You're not a slave to sin anymore. You belong to God. God is your master, and we obey Him. I came across a unique rhyme to help remember this. It didn't give credit to an author, but it sounds a lot like Dr. Seuss to me. I don't know what you think. It just says this. It says, good, better, best. Never let it rest until your good is better and your better is best. Sounds like Dr. Seuss, doesn't it? The advantage for anyone who commits themselves to God wholeheartedly as slaves to the righteousness is that they get to grow towards sanctification, a sanctified and holy life. That's the type of life that the Bible says is pleasing to God. And we want to please God. But the greatest benefit of that righteousness is that it is the result that after death, earthly speaking, is to spend eternity in His presence. I like what our Free Methodist Church defines as sanctification. We use a lot of $100 words in the church, justification, sanctification, all these big words. But sanctification is this, is that saving work of God, beginning the new life in Christ, whereby the Holy Spirit renews His people after the likeness of God, changing them through crisis and process from one degree of glory to another, and conforming them to the image of Christ. As believers surrender to God in faith, and here's the key, die to self through full consecration, the Holy Spirit fills them with love and purifies them from sin. This sanctifying relationship with God remedies the divided mind, redirects the heart to God, and empowers believers to please and serve God in their daily lives. Thus, God sets his people free to love him with all their heart, soul, mind, and strength, and to love their neighbor as themselves. So as we yield ourselves to God and seek that righteousness, instead of going from bad to worse, we actually start to find ourselves going from bad to better, better to best, best to greatness. Simply by drawing close to God, choosing to live this way, drawing closer to him. And when we draw close to him, we slowly begin to realize that good things begin to happen. And those good things begin to build on each other. And they build upon each other until we realize we just built a life of holiness and devotion to God. And once you get there, you realize, I don't want to go back to the way I used to be. When we pursue holiness and seek after a sanctified life, the Bible tells us for all that so-called work, there is a payment. You are paid for your services. There is a payment for such surrendered service. That payment isn't so much what we receive, but it's what we give. We begin to reflect Jesus into the world. We begin to make those disciples. We begin to bring others to the salvation knowledge of Jesus Christ. In other words, it's like the Bible says, you begin to bear fruit. However, if you choose, remember there's only two choices to make. If that is not your choice and you wish to remain in bondage to sin and to remain its slave for all the work you do in that sinfulness, yes, you will still get paid, as the Bible tells us. But you have to understand that this payment is a totally different type of currency. The salary that you will get for choosing the devil as your master is all those things associated with death. When we hear the word death in the Bible, yes, the English word says death, but that is a plethora of understanding. Death includes thousands and thousands of things. Pain, misery, frustration, anxiety, stress, fear. The list can go on for hours. I think you get the idea. A lot of negative things come with death. That's why the free gift that God offers is so much better. It is eternal life with him. It is the blessing of an eternal loving relationship, not only with him, but in his presence. A loving, personal, and intimate relationship in heaven with him forever. That's why verse 22 of chapter 6, it said, "But now that you have been set free from sin and have become slaves of God," I love this part, "the benefit you reap leads to holiness, and the result of that is eternal life." We don't live for ourselves, but we live for God. He is king, and we are his servants, enslaved to his righteousness. So you see, slavery can be a good thing. Seeking a sanctified and holy life, Jesus Christ no longer is just a Savior, but he is now also Lord and Master. That's why I'd like to leave you with some of the writings from Charles Wesley. That's John Wesley's brother. If you've sung the Christmas tune, "Hark the Herald Angels Sing," and "Oh for a Thousand Tongues," you've sung Charles Wesley. I think Charles had a little bit more together than John, but that's just a personal opinion. But I like this writing. I couldn't find the music to this, but it is his writing called "Depth of Mercy." This is some of the verses. This thing went on forever, but it's a few. It says, "Depth of mercy Can there be mercy still reserved for me? Can my God his wrath forbear? Me, the chief of sinners, spare? I have long withstood his grace, long provoked him to his face, would not hearken to his calls, grieved him by a thousand falls. I, my master, have denied, I afresh have crucified, and profaned his hallowed name, put him to an open shame. There for me the Savior stands, shows his wounds and spreads his hands. God is love, I know, I feel. Jesus weeps and loves me still. Pity from thine eye let fall, by a look my soul recall. Now the stone to flesh convert, cast a look and break my heart. Now incline me to repent, let me now my sins lament. Now my foul revolt deplore, weep, believe, and sin no more. Slaves to righteousness, you cannot lose surrendering your life to Christ. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we praise you and thank you for freedom that in a paradoxical way comes through enslavement, being totally sold out to you, to give our all to you, to give everything we have, to focus on the eternal kingdom that is coming. You will usher it in. Your Son will come back as the Prince of Peace to rule this kingdom. When we accept your Son Jesus, our eternity begins. So we need to be living as if we truly believe what you say. Help us where we are compromised. Break us where we are not surrendered. Help us to live fully sold out, enslaved lives to your holiness. Because the relationship with you, the eternity we get to spend with you, is worth the cost of such surrender. Forgive us where we have fallen. Pick us up, Holy Spirit. Help us to dust off and continue to move on towards that sanctification, the holiness which you have empowered us to live. And we give you thanks for such an ability and capability to do. And we praise you and thank you in Jesus' name. Amen.